Okay, we're gonna do something a little different today. We'll start with a shayla. This is not my shayla. No one ever asked me the shayla, but it's an intriguing shayla. Found it in one of the svarim, one of the Chosha Mishpat svarim, and it comes back to our sugyas in Ilum Metzius. So not just comes back; it's really about our sugyas in Ilum Metzius. So here's the shayla. Here's the story. Maisa shahaya kachaya, or maybe lo kachaya. I have no idea. But here's the story that they say. There is a fellow, an Israeli fellow, who married off a few children. And after marrying off a few children, he was in significant debt. This happens in Israel, especially in the Haredi community, where you don't only have to pay for a wedding, you also have to pay for an apartment. And if he's a bachur from Brisk, you have to pay for two apartments, because you have to pay for one apartment for him to be able to rent out and another apartment for him to live in. It's a fantastic system. So what could go wrong, right? So this guy is in tremendous debt, so he comes knocking on doors in Chutz Laaretz in order to raise money to pay for his debts. So that's, right? That's pretty standard. And he has a wealthy relative in Chutz Laaretz. So he asks his relative if he can help him out. Relative says, I'll help you in the following way. As long as you're here in Chutz Laaretz, you can stay at my house. You can sleep at my house. You're not getting a penny from me. But I don't approve of your lifestyle choices or whatever the issues are. You're not getting a penny from me, but we're family. So you could stay at my house and, certainly eat dinner with us every night, whatever, we'll put you up in a very comfortable guest room. And he appreciates the gesture, no problem. And he hires a driver, I guess, who takes 40%, and he goes around collecting money. Good. One day, one night, this poor fellow is sleeping in his rich cousin's house, and he hears a commotion upstairs in the middle of the night, and he hears some screaming, and apparently, from what he could hear, there are list of mezuyin that have broken into the house. There are ganavim that broke into the house, and they got to the master bedroom, and they started screaming, "Show me where your money is! Show me where your money is!" And he heard the balabas say, all my cash. Apparently these people knew which house they were breaking into, and they knew that this is a person who works a lot with cash. I don't know what he did for a living exactly, maybe drug dealer. So he said, where is all your cash? And he screamed, all my cash is in the kitchen, in the cabinet on the top right hand corner. Please just don't hurt us, take whatever you want. So the relative hears this, and he's in the bedroom right next to the kitchen. So he said, take whatever you want. All these guys, a lot of them are about to come, and they're about to clean him out. So he quickly runs to the cabinet where the cash is. He opens it up, and there are like loads and loads of cash. He quickly grabs a couple of piles of bills, chucks it out the window into the bushes outside, and runs back into his room and hides. He doesn't want to get killed. And then the list of museum come, and they empty out the rest of the cabinet. So they make away with $200,000. And then afterwards, this poor fellow goes out to the bushes, and he sees what he threw outside, $50,000 he threw outside. He threw outside the window. What the guy is doing with $250,000 cash in his house, if this is a real story, I'd have a lot of cashes for him, but okay, but I don't know if it's a real story or not, but this is the shayla they say. So what's the shayla? Is he allowed to keep it? Can I keep the cash? I mean, this cash was about to be destroyed. It was about to be taken by these gazlanim, right? So is he allowed to keep the cash? The person was saying, he told Bepemele, take it, just leave us alone, don't hurt us. My parents have a neighbor on their block in Lawrence who once people broke into their house in the middle of the night, got them out of bed, tied them up in their bedroom, and had them instruct them exactly where to find all the jewelry, where to find everything, and cleaned out the entire house. I didn't hurt them, other than they said they were very sensitive. Is it too tight? When they were tying, but they didn't hurt them. But they cleaned out all their jewelry. These people had a sense of humor. Afterwards, they changed their outgoing voicemail to, we can't come to the phone right now, we're tied up. But such a thing could happen. So the people, they just didn't want to get hurt. Fine. So are you allowed to keep the money? So what would you say? Are you allowed to keep the money? Now, there are a couple of details over here. What? Al pi halacha or al pi hashkafa. Good. That's one. Al pi halacha, al pi hashkafa. Meaning, just to put that in other words, min adin or lefnei mishuras adin, right? Also, does it matter who this fellow, does the fact that this fellow was a poor person and that he was a relative Does any of that matter in the cheshbon over here?
Then he also agreed to be not being paid anything on condition that.
And not to take your money, right? I'm not going to take your money, but it could be that it's not his money anymore.
It's still in his possession.
Right, okay, fair. That's going to be something we have to discuss. Is it still the Balabas's money?
Did he ever actually make it hefker?
Meaning what we're going to have to figure out is, was there hefker?
So is there Yeush?
Is there hefker?
He's only giving me Yeush because it was life and death. It's not like.
Is Yeush Ba'ones Yeush? Good.
That a transaction between them. Don't hurt me for the money.
Well, meaning
instead of it being,
but he didn't say I'll pay you $250,000 not to hurt me. He said don't hurt me. Just take whatever money is there. So, the money. Okay, good. Meaning maybe the owner of the hat, the balabas, was paying to not be hurt. But that's not a real transaction. he didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what I'm going to do with my $250,000 cash that I have hidden in my kitchen? I'm going to pay someone not to hurt me. He wasn't asking for this whole situation. No, that's not until you have a zavin. That's not until you have a zavin. That's a transaction. This is someone's threatening him with his life. I don't think that's the same. Okay, good. So before we start in the whole discussion, the Gemara B'Metzia Daf Chav Dalet and Beis, which is the first of your Mar Makomos. So what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara tells us a story. Rav Yehuda Avashakel V'Azul Basrei De Mar Shmuel B'Shuka De Beit Daisa. Rav Yehuda was following Mar Shmuel in the Shuk where they used to sell wheat, crushed up wheat that they would use for Daisa. What's Daisa? Yeah, cereal, porridge, something like that, right? So for those who have gone, it's about 10 lines before the lines get wide on Chav Dalet and Beis. So he was following Mar Shmuel in the Shuk where they sell Daisa, or crushed up wheat for Daisa. So Amrlei, so Rav Yehuda asked Mar Shmuel, Matzakan Arnaki Mahu. If let's say a person finds a wallet over here, what would the halacha be with such a wallet? Meaning, Hidafka asked Shmuel this question, because Shmuel holds Ein Holchin Mamnach HaRov. Right, Shmuel's shita is that we don't follow Rov by Dina Mamnis. So he asked him, what about in this case? And Shmuel was saying, in this case where it's a shuk, where most of the people are non-Jews, and what's the halacha? Do you have to do Hashavas Aveda to non-Jew? No, and not only don't you have to, it could be that it's usur to do Hashavas Aveda to a non-Jew. Why would it be usur? Losuchanim. That's Losuchanim. Right, what else? So the Gemara has a drasha. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to do the mitzvahs of Hashem because they are moral. You're supposed to do them because they are mitzvahs. And if a person does Hashem is aved to a non-Jew, he's showing that he's not motivated by mitzvahs Hashem. He's motivated by a basic sense of morality. So that is a great topic in its own right. What? So we should be immoral? Like, what are we? Okay, that's a good topic in its own right. Not for right now.
What about
Chil Hashem? But strictly speaking, assuming there's not going to be any Chil Hashem, and assuming that there's not going to be any Kiddush Hashem by returning or anything else, taking everything else out of the equation, there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to a non-Jew. Most of the people here are non-Jews. Shmuel holds Ein Holchin B'Mamonach HaRov, that you normally don't look for Rov. So that's why he said to Shmuel, yeah, what about in this situation? See, normally Ein Holchin B'Mamonach HaRov is because there's a Muchzak. But over here there's no Muchzak, it's just an Aveda. So would you say that I follow Rov over here? So Amalei, Harei L'Shalom. Yeah, you follow Rov over here. Since Rov of the people in the Shuk are non-Jews, and there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to a non-Jew, Harei L'Shalom, you get to keep it. So he said, okay, I have a further question. What if a Jew comes along and gives a simin? And he tells me exactly where the wallet is scratched and whose initials are carved in. Or whatever. He gives me some sort of simin. He tells me exactly the credit cards that are inside of it with the credit card number. Well, credit cards that have a name, whatever. But he gives a simin on it, right? So then what's the din? So Amalei, Chayv Lachzir. Oh, then you got to return it. He says, Tarti, that's a stira. You just told me that when I find it, I'm allowed to keep it. So if I'm allowed to keep it, that's because the Bailam is Messiahish from it. Meaning it has to be that the Bailam is Messiahish from it, right? Because it's a Rovakum, and the Bailam knows that it's Rovakum over there. So why, when the Bailam gives a simon, do I have to return it? Amarlei! Lefnim Yishur Sadin. Min Hadin, you're allowed to keep it. Lefnim Yishur Sadin, you have to return it. So that's the Gemara. That lifnei mishuras hadin, you have to return it. How do I know lifnei mishuras hadin? So it's an important tosos over here in Dibra Maskel lifnei mishuras hadin. Maybe we should do a day. Maybe we should do a sugya one day just on the inyan of lifnei mishuras hadin. When the lifnei mishuras hadin is a chiyuv, when it's not a chiyuv, because the Gemara derives the lifnei mishuras hadin from pasuk. Things in pasukim generally are not suggestions, right? Things in pasukim are generally chiyuvim. So later on in Daf Lamed and Beis, still within this perek, the Gemara darshins from Vahudata Lemes Haderech Yelchuba Ves Hamaase Asher Yaasun, that a person has to go lifnei mishuras hadin. Why doesn't the Gemara quote that as the source over here? Why doesn't the Gemara quote the pasuk over here? So Tos says because the pasuk is talking about when other people are chayiv meikar hadin, but you happen to be pater. That's where the pasuk says you go lifnei mishuras hadin. What's such a case? Other people would be chayiv meikar hadin, but because you're special, right? You're pater. What? Where do you ever have such a thing? Because you're special, you're pater. Zakin ve'lo fikvo. Right, there's a din that when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, so let's say you're walking down the street and there's a Barbie doll in the street, right? So you play with Barbie dolls all the time. It's not at all embarrassing for you to pick up the Barbie doll and, you know, make sure her dress is just right and whatever, and have her talk to Ken or whatever, right? And so you put her in you take out your briefcase, you take out your Barbie mobile, and you put her in and you drive her, right, to bring her, give her back to whatever little girl lost her. But you have a Rosh Hashiva, imagine the Rosh Hashiva of Saxon walking down the street and sees a Barbie doll. So, you know, it's a little beneath his dignity to be walking around with a Barbie doll, right? So he's pater from a Shavas Aveda in such a case, right? It's not beneath his dignity to walk around that way. He's pater from a Shavas Aveda. That's what we call Zakein Venil Fikvoda. How we magdir what's called Zakein Venil Fikvoda when something is beneath a person's dignity? Just derech agav. Good. Would he do it for himself? This is what the poskim say. Would he do it for himself? If it was his daughter's Barbie doll, would he walk around the streets with it? So let's say, Rosh Hashanah always gives the example of like a pair of underwear. Like you see a pair of underwear in the street, right? So if you wouldn't pick it up and walk around the street like carrying around your own underwear, right? So then you don't have to carry around someone else's underwear to return it. If you were to do it for yourself, that's the definition of Zakein Venil Fikvodo. So there is a situation where, depending on who you are, one person's chayiv, another person's pater. Says Tosos, that's where we learn from a pasuk to do lifnei mishuras hadin. But our case is everybody's the same. Meaning, this is a shuk where most of the people are goyim. No one has a chayiv of Hashavas Aveda min hadin. So that's not the pasuk. But even so, there's an inyan of lifnei mishuras hadin. Whatever it is, the mantelich b'derech tovim, the pasuk in Mishlei says, you know, there's some other inyan of lifnei mishuras hadin. It's not as great of an inyan. Now, it's not from the same pasuk at least. Now, the lashon that Shmuel had is chayiv, right? What was the shayla? Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, what if a Jew comes and gives simanim? Chayiv. What do you mean chayiv? Lifnei mishuras hadin. Well, then why did you say chayiv? So what's the impression you get? Sounds like lifnei mishuras hadin is a chiyuv that you actually have to do.
Why don't we care if the Jew would be honest besides the three things? Like we're believing all of the Jews here.
No, it doesn't matter that he's honest. It's not his anymore. He was miyayish of it.
So there's yayish and shim and rishos. So you have to give back to them? We don't care if he's believed in them?
Oh, maybe I thought you were going the opposite direction. Say again, what was your question?
If a Jew comes and asks for it back, we just give it to him? We don't care if he's like a...
No, he's giving Simon. He gives Simon,
okay.
Yeah, Simon. That's also an interesting shayla. What if a person gives a Simon, but it's a Simon that anyone could have easily found out? Okay, so maybe we'll talk about that a different time. But, it says chayiv. So what does it mean chayiv? How could it be that they have chayiv to go? How could it be lifnei mishuras din and still chayiv at the same time? Then isn't it din? How's that lifnei mishuras din? So the definition of din, I think, is that if someone were to sue you in Beis Din would be able to make you pay min hadin. Sometimes Beis Din is kofet to do mitzvos. Meaning, if you're refusing to do a mitzvah, Beis Din will be kofa, will force you to do a mitzvah. And sometimes Beis Din is not going to be kofa to do mitzvahs, but there's a dinimam, this obligation. Maybe chayiv over here means dine mamonis, you're not chayiv, but you have a mitzvah to go with nimishros din, and it could even be the kind of mitzvah that Beis Din would force you to do. Whether or not Beis Din forces you in this situation is a machlokas rishon. It's a machlokas rishon. The Rush in Simon Zion over here says you're supposed to return it, but Beis Din can't force you. How can we force you? It's only the Fnei Mishras I did. However, the Mordechai in Perek Eilu Metzius, Simon Reish Nun Zayin, quotes from the Ra'avon and the Ravya that when we say that you're chayiv to return it, the Fnei Mishras I did, it means Beis Din can force you to return it. And particularly when we talk about the Fnei Mishras I did of an Aveda more so than any other situation. Why particularly more by an Aveda? See, normally when I have a situation where there's some sort of din mamonis issue with another person, to tell me to go to the Fnei Mishras Din is to tell me to lose, right? It's telling me to lose money. You know, for example, there was a shayla we had recently, I think I maybe mentioned it in one of the Thursday night shiurim, there was a shayla of a guy who asked an employee of his to fill his car with gas. The guy was, you know, one of these summer intern type of people. So do me a favor, please fill my car with gas. So the guy went and he filled his car with gas. He filled it with diesel. And it totaled the car. So the boss wanted the employee to pay for it. He was an adam mamazik. He mamsh took poison and put it in the car. Right? And he killed the car. So he wanted him to pay for it. So the truth is the employee chayiv to pay for it? Absolutely. Right? He's an adam mamazik. So bein b'pshia, bein ba'ones, bein b'mezik, bein ba'ones, it doesn't matter. Show mezik, ones, ratzon, it doesn't matter. Another mamazik is another mamazik. What difference does it make if he did it with diesel gasoline or he did it with a baseball bat? Right? He destroyed the car. But there is a siman, chosh mishpat, that says that an employer should treat his employees l'fnei mishras hadin. Should go especially easy on his employees in those situations. Right? Now, when Rabbi Isaac Rice called up a big Choshen Mishpat expert in Lakewood to ask him the Shaila, he said, his name is Rabbi Marburger, I think, he said, and remember, we work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we'd like for him to go to the Mishra Zedin with us. So, a healthy hashgafa, right? But when you're telling that employer to go to the Mishra Zedin, what are you telling him? What are you telling him to do? To lose money. He's going to lose a lot of money. Whereas by Naveda, it's much easier to encourage the Tnei Mishras Adin, and Poskim are going to be much more likely to encourage the Tnei Mishras Adin. Why? Because the whole thing's a boon for you. You weren't walking down the street planning on making any money that day. You didn't do anything to make the money. It was just there. The other guy's going to lose out. So by Aveda, we're particularly likely to encourage one to go the Tnei Mishras Adin. So on the simple... the simple level over here. If there is no chiyuv to return this money, we still haven't discussed whether there is or isn't. Let's imagine for a moment that there's no chiyuv for this. Back to our case, right? This mashulach from Eretz Yisrael. Let's imagine there's no chiyuv to return this money. Should he still do it, even if there's no chiyuv?
Even if there's no
fee,
are we ever going to say it's a bad idea to return it?
So, okay, probably not. We wouldn't say it's a bad idea, but even beyond that, what did we just learn? That even when there's no chiyuv, like in the shuk, where most of the people are goyim, and then Yisrael comes and gives you simanim, there's no chiyuv! And what? What do we say? L'fnei mishras din, you gotta do it. And some rishonim say, not only is it l'fnei mishras din, but l'fnei mishras din means we're kofel, we force you to do it l'fnei mishras din. Wow. So maybe the whole question doesn't even begin. All the question, hefker, yeyush, no chiv, doesn't matter. Even if there's no chiv, you have to return it. L'fnei mishras din. Maybe the question doesn't even start because of our Gemara and Daf Chav Dalid. Yeah?
If we force you, then isn't that not...
So that's what we're saying. Forcing you midin kfi ala mitzvos. Not midin dinim amenis. These are two different dinim. Right? But that's what the chelik of the Rishonim say over here. That we're kofet to do l'fnei mishras din. Not like the Rush, but the Gedolei Ashkenaz, the Rav Yah, the Mordechai, right? The Rav Van, they all say that we're kofet to go l'fnei mishras din. But the Rishonim add a wrinkle. And this is where the details of this case matter. If the person who found it is an ani, and the person who lost it is an Ashir, then we don't tell you to go to Lifnei Mishras Din. Meaning, that might be the difference. If you say that we force Lifnei Mishras Din, that might be the difference between Din and Lifnei Mishras Din. Then if it were Din, I don't care how rich or poor you are, it's Din, you got to pay. But if it's Lifnei Mishras Din, yes, we force you, but not if you're an Ani and the other person's an Ashir. So, and this is all quoted, by the way, in Chosh Mishpat, the Ramah in Reishon and Tes, quotes this Lahalacha, and he says that whenever you have a situation of no Chiyuv Hashava, you should still, like Zuta Shliyam, in all those cases, as we've discussed, you should still return it Lifnei Mishras Hadin. Yeah.
And this goes on every single item you find, and on top of that, you just like, keep it as long until you find the person?
Provided, I'm not sure what you're asking.
As in, like, this halach, this being the Lifnei Mishras Hadin, like, if you find any item in the street, even, I don't know, with the symbol, I have to be with it. If you find it in the shuk, you pick it up, and you're supposed to hold on to it till somebody comes and takes it. Like, you're not allowed to keep it. Well,
no, I think you keep it until someone gives you money. Yeah, you're probably even allowed to use it. Yeah, the Lifnei Mishras Din is when someone comes and asks for it, they have to give it and gives you money. Then you have to give it to. Yeah. Right, or you have to pay him for it afterwards. Maybe, I don't know. Now, again, the poskim are not machmir. They have to go Lifnei Mishras Din if you're an ani and he's an ashir. If they're both aniim or they're both ashirim, then we would be machmir. Okay, so now we have a shayla. Meaning, we first thought, we don't have a shayla anyway. Meaning, this whole case is not a shayla, because, of course, we force you to go to Lifnei Mishras Din. There's nothing to talk about. But if he's an ani and the relative's an ashir, we don't force Lifnei Mishras Din. So now we have a shayla. Now we have a shayla. And what we need to figure out is, min hadin, since we're not going to force Lifnei Mishras Din, min hadin is he obligated to return. So that brings us back to all the svaras we said before. So three possible avenues to explore as to why maybe he doesn't have to return it. Why maybe min hadin he would not be obligated. Yeah?
Is it, even though it's Asher and he's Ani, the fact that it's like $50,000 and like a lot of money?
I mean, $50,000 is a lot for an Asher also.
Yeah, it's
that's a fair point also. I don't know. I didn't see any explicit discussion in postcom, but that seems like a very strong point. Maybe if it was, something that was of significance to an Ani, but not to an Ashir, but this is probably of significance to an Ashir. Unless he's really big Ashir, whatever, one of these billionaires or whatever, that $50,000 is like nothing. Okay. So now we have to figure out what the din is. So in order to figure out what the din is, let's first explore the possibility that it's Hefker. What's that possibility? So there's a sugya in Baba Kama Daf Yedzayin and Beis. We mentioned this sugya last week, I think. Right? What happens? A person throws a kli Merosh Hagag. Right? Someone throws a kli off of a roof and finish up the Gemara. What happens? There's a guy at the bottom, the baseball bat, as it's coming down, he smashes it before it hits the ground. Beautiful right hand swing, right? Perfect. Makes perfect contact and he smashes it before it hits the ground. So what's the halacha? The guy who swung is Pater. Why? Because Mana Tvira Tava. He broke something that was already broken. It wasn't already broken? Yeah, it was. It was coming down from the rooftop. It was good. It was about to break. Mana Tvira Tava. Okay.
The Gemara just says
straight down. I don't remember. Tosfos on the spot, right? Yeah, that's it. And this might be what you're thinking of. That's if the guy threw a kli off the roof. But imagine the guy didn't throw a kli off the roof. Imagine there was a kli, a fragile kli on the ground, and there were some teenagers on the rooftop, right? And they spot a fragile kli on the ground, right? What's a fragile kli? Give me an example.
Pottery.
they see a Lenovo laptop, right, on the ground, right? So how does a teenager think? Right? There are some pebbles on the roof. This is a teenager's mind, you have to understand. Right? And there's a Lenovo laptop six stories down on the ground. I wonder if I could hit it. Right? That's what he thinks. So first he tries to hit him, spit it, right? See if he can spit on it and hit him. Oh, I wonder if I can get it with this rock, you know, right? So that's how the brain works, right? So he's already a gadol, he's over bar mitzvah, he's just not fully, his brain isn't fully mature enough to like think about the consequences of what he's doing. So he starts throwing rocks at the laptop. And there is a rock that is coming straight for Alex's laptop. It's about to destroy the laptop. And then someone comes, and right before the rock hits, it takes a baseball bat and smashes it. So says Tosfos, the guy who smashed it is chayiv. What difference does it make if someone throws a laptop off a roof and you swing the bat before it hits the ground? Or if someone's throwing a rock at the laptop and you smash the laptop before the rock hits it?
No,
it was good. It was the trajectory was perfect. Very talented young man up on that roof. he threw a rock, you know, mamish right on target. What do you mean? You mean you're active?
Throwing the rock is not direct to that, meaning it's not going to use toaster slush. It's throw roast. It's not as
Yeah. Right. Basa karazim and basa tavamana as linan. Same sugya, right? This is baba kama.
Yeah. The actual laptop. You have time to move the laptop. You have time to smash it.
Why are you moving your laptop?
It wasn't
moved.
It's not considered broken yet.
You didn't have time to move. It's too heavy for you to move, but you smashed it. So how do we explain this? Right, okay, well, no, he just left it somewhere. He didn't think these idiot teenagers are going to throw rocks at it. I mean, that's not...
No one else leaves a
laptop. No, it's not lost. He sees it, and then someone just is playing games with him. Okay, he's out there in this area right here outside, and he's left his laptop. It's not only on a table. He went inside to go to the bathroom for a minute. The next thing he knows, there are guys, you know, the Rebbe was 3 minutes late. Right? There are guys that are throwing things at it. Can you tell I taught in high school for 18 years? We actually had a kid that once threw a computer out the window, but it was a school computer.
Awesome.
So, back in Arabic. Yeah, that guy went to jail. I mean, in the end, not for that, for other things. Okay. So, moving along. Okay, so what's the svara for Tosfos Chilek? So the svara that they say for Tosfos Chilek is that a guy who throws a kli me'rosh hagag is doing something to the actual kli. He's taking the kli and he's throwing it. So then you could say, since he did something to the actual kli, it's a kli shavu. It's a mana tevira. It's broken already. But in the case of Tosfos, a Tosfos introduced where you shoot an arrow at it or you throw a rock at it, you didn't do anything to it. You've done something to a rock. And therefore, the kli is not yet considered to be broken. That's the chiluk that Tosfos tries to make. If Tosfos is correct, let's translate it to our case. Here's this balabas. There are gazlan and list of mazuyim that are headed straight for this money. Right? Is the money gone already? Is the money gone already when the ani took it? So, what would you say? According to Tosfos, L'chornat. Why? The list of mezuzin are the rock. The money is the laptop. So the balabas threw the list of mezuzin at the money. If the ani takes it before the list of mezuzin get there, he's smashing the laptop before the rock hits it. And therefore, the ani should be chayiv. Yeah? If someone were to actually throw a laptop out the window and then you smash it before it hits the ground, you're potter, because then it was already broken. But according to Tosfos, if I throw a projectile at the item and it's on its way to destroy the item is still there. It's not gone yet. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, can you make a chilek between two cases, though? Because when let's say you throw an arrow at a kli, like, somebody lets go of the arrow, and now there's a force of gravity, and it's for sure going to...
Over here, there are people that have b'chira.
Yeah,
that's a fair point. Okay, that's a fair point. But even without that, the Chazanish disagrees with Tosfos. It sounds a little unusual to say, because Chazanish is an Achron, but Chaznish disagrees with Tosos, and he has a raya against Tosos. He thinks there's a gemara against Tosos. I mean, Tosos is making a very shver chilik. Like, there's really a difference between throwing a laptop off a building or throwing a rock at a laptop. So Chaznish says, I have a raya against Tosos. There's another gemara in Bava Kamma. In Kuftes Vavim Beis, gemara talks about someone who's walking, and he's got money in his pocket, and he sees a guy coming toward him who is very clearly about to mug him. Right? And it's very obvious that not only the guy's wearing a sign that says mugger, or maybe the guy's screaming, yo, I'm about to mug you, right? He knows that this guy is about to, he's about to lose all of his money. And this fellow's walking, and he's trying to think fast, right? He's about to lose all of his money. And he's thinking, well, I have Meiser Sheni at home. And I was never pulled at that Meiser Sheni. Now, to schlep all that Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim is going to be such a hassle. It would be really great if I could be pulled at that Meiser Sheni on money. Oh, I know. I have money in my pocket. So I'm going to be pulled to the Meiser Sheni on the money that I have in my pocket. And then 2 minutes later, the money will get stolen from him. Can he be pulled to the Meiser Sheni with the money that he has in his pocket? That's the case in the Gemara, right? So says the Gemara, no, can't do it. And not only that, if you did it, it's not Mechulo. The Meiser Sheni still has his Kedusha, it's not Mechulo in that money. Why? What? Oh, we'll get there in a second. What's the simple reading of the Gemara? Because these people are coming after his money, and when, meaning in this case, the projectile is these human beings that are coming right for his money. So the Gemara says, by the way, that if he thinks he has a way out, if he thinks he might be able to escape, then the Meiser Sheni is mechulul. If he's not sure that he's about to lose his money, but if he's sure that he's about to lose his money, this projectile is coming right at his laptop. These people, these muggers, are coming right at his money. Then he has no right. The money's already gone. It's already not his. He doesn't have the ability to be mechal as Meiser Sheni on that money. So says Chaznish, you see, against Tosfos. Nothing happened to the money yet. There's just something coming at the money. And yet we say that it's gone. So you see a raya against Tosfos. And the Chaznish is not the only one that says like this. The Nesivos, without the raya of the Chaznish, but the Nesivos has the same idea. Simple reading in the Rambam in the fourth part of Hilchos Meiser Sheni, Halacha Yud-Aleph Yud-Beis, is like the Chaznish. The Rambam writes that you're not allowed to be pulled to Meiser Sheni with money that's not Perushuso, because the Pasuk says, V'tzarta HaKesef B'yadecha. And then Halacha Yud-Beis, the Rambam writes, Hayubaba Derech, you're walking on a road, Umma'os B'yado, and you have money, Va'anas Ba'kenegdo, and there are muggers coming again across from you. Im Yachala Hatzil Ali De'Elchak, if you might be able to sneak away, you could be pulled to the Paris in your house with this money in your pocket. But v'meinu yachala atzil, if you're not going to be able to save it, and you say Paris yesh b'toch beis mechalan al malas elu lo amar klum, you can't be pulled to. And the Ravaz explains why. Einu b'rishuso, they're already not in your rishus. Why are they already not in your rishus? Because something is coming at them to destroy them. So from the moment that the balabas, in our case, in the shadow that we started with, told these ganavim, the money's over there, and they start heading toward it, it's hefker, it's no longer bereshusa, and therefore l'chora, the ani is allowed to keep it. Yeah, you hear? Meaning, according to, so now what do we have? If I ask, min adin, is the ani allowed to keep it? What's the answer now? Machlokas. Right? Tosus would say, No, why? Because they didn't do anything to the money. Something's coming at the money. And Tosus distinguishes between throwing the laptop off the building and throwing a projectile at the laptop. But the Chaznish and potentially the Rambam and the Nesivos would say, the money's already gone. You're allowed to keep it. Now the Chaznish had a riot. Right? He had a riot from the Gemara about Meiser Sheni. Well, how would Tosus respond to that riot? What do you mean?
That's his raya,
no? But how do you reject the Chaznish's raya? Right? How's he going to address the Chaznish's raya? So Tosus might reject the Chaznish's raya in a couple of ways. There are two inyan, and we've spoken about this. Shalom and Bereshusa. Right? These are two different things. Shalom means that I am the title owner of something. Bereshusa means I have access to it. So if something gets stolen from me, right? Is it Shali?
Yes.
Is it Bereshusi?
No.
No. Who's the Pirushus of? The person, the Gazlan. Right? He's the one that has the Rishus. If, let's say, the Gazlan stole, and someone came in and stole it from the Gazlan and ate it up or destroyed it. Right? So, the Sugi Mabakama Kufiralf discusses this. Am I allowed to get paid from the guy who ultimately destroyed it? So the Gemara says, according to Rav Chista, yes. Why? Because he didn't just take it from the Gazan. He took it from the Gazan's Rishus, but it was still Shalit. And now it's gone. So he took away the Bailus that I still have on it. Granted, my Bailus was only half a Bailus, because it was only Shalit, it wasn't Rishusi. But he took away the Bailus that I still have on it. So based on that, it could be, in order to be Mechal Maiser Sheni, it's not enough that something be Shalom. It also needs to be Birushusa. What is the definition of Birushusa? You'll have the ability to do with it as you please, right? You have access and control of it. It could be that while these people are coming at the money, it's not in my Rishus anymore. Right? I'm walking down the dark alley and I see these people screaming, "Yo, I'm about to mug you just like I mugged that old lady." Right? And I know he's going to do it. He's going to mug me. And I don't have any, you know, I took two lessons of Krav Maga so far. Like, I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to defend myself. This guy looks like he knows what he's doing, right? He's a professional mugger. Right? I know I'm not. The money in my pocket might be Shali, but ain't a Brashusi. And if it's ain't a Brashusi, I don't have the ability to be pulled to Meister Shane. Meaning, when it comes to Bailus, is it really mine? Yeah, it's still mine. And therefore, in our case, where the Bailum said to the Gazlovim, "Go, it's in the kitchen, all the cash is in the kitchen." So what did that do? That took it out of the Rishus of the Balabas. But what did it not do? It didn't take it away from the Bailus of the Balabas. It's still Shalom, it still belongs to him. And if you steal something that belongs to somebody but is Eino Bereshuso, guess what? You have to pay that person back. So the Ani goes and he grabs that money that is no longer Bereshus the Balabas, but it's still Shalom of the Balabas. He's still going to have to pay him back. It happens to be there's a technical din in being Poda Meister Sheni that in order to be Poda, it needs to be both Shalom and Bereshuso. And over here, you don't have both Shalom and Bereshuso. So that's probably how Tosos would respond to that riot. Or, there could be another reason that Tosos would not be bothered by this riot. It could be that Enochinami, when people are coming after your money, it's like an object, a projectile coming right after the Kli. But there's a special din in Matnas Kun and Matnas Levi. Right? You're trying to be Mafrish. Let's say you want to be Mafrish Shumos and Maestros, right? So what's the halacha? The halacha is you're supposed to then give it to a Kohen and a Levi. And it could be that part of the mitzvah of Hafrasha is that it only works if it could be destined to its ultimate destination. And it's a technicality within the dinum of Trumas and Maestros. Now, granted, the case in Bava Kamma, at the end of Bava Kamma, was being poda already existing Maestro Sheni, but maybe that's part of the din of Pidyon. That part of the din of being poda Maestro Sheni is that you're allowed to be poda Maestro Sheni if you're putting it in a position where that which is now going to have Kedushas Maestro Sheni could end up where it's supposed to end up. But maybe it's a technicality in Dinei Pidyon Maaser Sheni. Okay, so bottom line is, even if you don't like the Raya, the Dechiya, the Raya, bottom line is at this point in time, right, if I were to ask you, does the Ani get to keep it? What would you say? Machlokas, right? Min Adin, does he get to keep it? Machlokas. According to Tosfos, no, he does not get to keep it because it's only a projectile coming at the money. The money itself wasn't affected. And according to the Chazanish, he would be allowed to keep it. Then there's a second svara to be makel over here, and that's our sugi b'mitzvah of Gimel Min Aleph. Amrav Zid Mishmei Derava Klala Da'Avedasa. Kevan Sha'amar Vai Leila Chesron Kis Miyash Lemina. The definition of Yayush is previously we were talking about Hefker, and it's already Hefker because it's already about to be destroyed. It already doesn't exist. Now we're going to say a different svara. Once a guy says, Vai lo lechesrum kis, oy vey, I lost it, it's a goner, that's Yayush. And the Rishonim already point out, he doesn't have to say those words, it's not like, you know, he expresses that sentiment, that this is gone, this is lost, and that he has no hope of getting it back. When he said, take whatever you want, take all my money, but just don't hurt me, maybe that's a Vai lo lechesrum kis, and it's a Yayush. He wasn't doing this because he wanted to be miyayish. He was doing this at gunpoint. Yeah, well, yayish is never because you want to be miyayish. No? Yayish is always because Nebuch, I lost something and I can't find it. I just can't look anymore because I looked everywhere and I can't find it anywhere. And if someone would have returned it to me by, you know, and then you're miyayish.
Yayish. The robbers
leave. But as Yesh is, that a reasonable person doesn't think he's going to get it back. And this guy's saying that he doesn't think he's going to get it back. So this is, although, you know, one could argue that even after the, is that necessarily true? That when a Goslin makes away with something, that you're sure that you're never going to get it back? I mean, it could be you call the cops and the cops will be able to retrieve it. Someone told me that someone once broke into their house and they called the cops afterwards and the cops said, they looked at exactly the crime scene, what happened, and they said, we know exactly who this was, and you're never getting it back. Because it was someone who was just released from prison, this fits exactly his MO, this is exactly what he does, and we were nervous that he was going to go back to a life of crime. He did, it didn't take him long, and he sells things immediately, so it's already been sold. So you're never going to get it back. But sometimes maybe they can retrieve certain things. So, okay, so this sounds pretty good. That maybe there's Yayush over here. What's the counter argument? So the counter argument over here is that there is a Machlokas Rishonim that the Nesivos has a long discussion about. But the simple Machlokas, Ramban in the Melchamos and Chavav Amir Aleph over here, and Tosim Bamatsia Chavav Amir Aleph, does Yayush work when it's still in your property? Right? So it's a machlokes rishonim. The Ramban holds that you can't be miyayish on something that's still in your property. Like, you might give up for a little while, but if you know, I know it's in my house. I guess similar to what David's saying, right? Meaning, I know it's in my house. You never know what could happen as long as it's still in my house. Once it leaves my house, then I'll really be miyayish. But while it's in my house, I'm not actually going to be miyayish. Whereas Tosus sounds like there is yayish even when it's in your property. Because Tosus discusses the Gemara over there on Chavav Amar Aleph, right? The Gemara says that im hay maskira lacher mafilu b'toch habayis harelu shelo. So Gemara says, "Amai lezel basar basra? Why, if someone finds it, is he allowed to take the metzia? We should say that whoever was last in the house, it belonged to him." And the way Tosfos understands that, who do we mean against Rashi? Who do we mean was the last one in the house? The Balabas. And even as he was renting it out, he was still living there. The guy who rented it moved out, and it's still in my house. So it should still be Shalom. And Tos says, because even if there's no Simon, the Balabai is not going to be Miyayish, what he lost in his house, because he thinks he's going to lose it today or Lamacha, because there are no Nachrim with him in the Bayis. The implication of Tos is, if there were Nachrim with him in the Bayis, even though he owns the Bayis, there would be Yayish. So it's Machlok, Tos, and the Ramban. Can there be Yayush within your own house? I hear the Ramban, that you would never be Miyayush something in your own house. I think I mentioned last week, a member of my family lost the car keys to my in-law's car in my in-law's car. Right? In the car. We knew it was in the car. We turned the car upside down, looked under all the mats, everything. We couldn't find it. How did we know it was in the car? Because we were driving errands all around town with the car, and we kept pushing the button, and it kept turning on. So it was obviously in the car. And but what? We couldn't lock the car, right? And at a certain point, it was Shabbos, and we had to give up looking. So for an entire Shabbos, the car was sitting in my driveway, not my car, my in-law's car, was sitting in my driveway, and anyone could have had a free infinity. You could have just come into my driveway, opened up and pushed the button and gone wherever you want. But we live in such a safe, beautiful neighborhood that people only take the change that's in between the seats. They don't actually even try to push the button, apparently. So Lemaisa, were we miyayish on the car keys? No, we gave up for that day because it was Shabbos and we had to, you know, start Shabbos. Don't tell me. I don't think my father-in-law listens to the other Matzias Shir, but this is a lot of the other ones. But, okay, right? But we weren't miyayish because it was in the car. We're not going to be miyayish when we know it's in the car. So that's Ramban. Okay, so now I've heard to ask you. Okay, let's back to it. Is minadin, is the ani allowed to take it? So you'd say, lefi tosfos. First you'd say, well, is it hefker? Lefi tosfos, no. Lefi chaznish and the nesivas and perhaps Rambam, yes, it is hefker, and he's allowed to take it. And then even if you want to say like tosfos, that it's not hefker, but there might be yeish, right? Because if you hold like tosfos and chavav, there could be yeish on something that's even in a person's house, and the guy's miyayish. But if you hold like the combination of Tosos and Baba Kama about throwing a projectile and the Ramban here in Bava Metzia, then Minadin, the guy is not allowed to take it. Right? Do we hold like that combination? Maybe, maybe not. A third sniff lahakel. Machne Ephraim in Hilchas Zichia Matana Simlches. And this quote in the Gilead Marshon, Yoredeya Simration and Aleph. What's Yoredeya Simration and Aleph? Hilchas Tzedakah. So in Yerodeh Simration Aleph, Shulchan Aruch says in Yerodeh Simration Memches, first of all, who's the Gilead Marsha on the side of Shulchan Aruch? Not the Marsha, right? Not the Marsha from the back of the Gemara. So Shlomo Eger. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch passes in Yerodeh Simration Memches that if a person gives less tzedakah than he's supposed to give, Bezin could be kofa him to give more, and yardim l'nechasav. Okay? Do we do that? No, it's not the most effective strategy in fundraising. So we don't do that, but strictly speaking, Bezin's allowed to do that if Bezin had the power. Because not only is tzedakah a mitzvah shematin schar b'tzida, it's two los assays, los sikvot tzitziyadcha, los sa'ameitz. So that's what we paskin. That Bezin technically is allowed to force him to do something. Furthermore, we pass in Simon Reishon and Aleph in Yerodeya. Who's top priority in Tzedakah? You always have so many people after your money. Who's top priority? Ani Yircha, even before Ani Yircha? Krovim, your relatives. Relatives are top priority. If you have a relative who needs money, he has to be so to say to your relative who's coming to collect money, who's desperate, who's an ani, sorry, I can't give you because I have so many other mostos and other things to support, doesn't work. Your krovim have to come first. So says the Machne Ephraim, even though we're no longer kofal tzedakah, if an ani relative gets his hands on your money, he doesn't have to return. Because at least that much of a kfiyah on tzedakah will do. Meaning, if he gets his hands on your tzedakah money, since he is the priority, he doesn't have to return it. Wow. So now the fact that he was a relative and that he was an ani really matters. Now, to be sure that if the guy were to say, listen, I can't give you, the reason I'm not giving you any money is because we have other relatives that are also very poor that I'm just as closely related to, and that's my priority in tzedakah, well then this ani for sure can't take it because we can't be kofa. The balabai, we can't take a medina tzedakah because we can't be kofa the balabais on that. But if he just doesn't prioritize his relatives, then maybe he can. Counter argument? Come on, I think there's a. No, we could force him to give tzedakah when he's not giving. One thing might be. What? He might have already given his full tzedakah obligation. Right? He may have already given. So would you say that after a person has given his full tzedakah obligation, now you can take from his other money? He gave Meisr, he gave Chomesh. On Friday, we were asking Rav Shechter Shailas about Meisr Kesafim. So Rabbi Levin was asking some detailed shaila about how to cheshbon when you get cash back on a credit card, and when you get, you know, with points and this and that, and gift cards. Some very interesting psukim, by the way, about this. But at some point, Shach was like, who keeps such close track of Meisr Ksachim to cheshbon exactly Meisr? And we thought he was saying, like, how impressive it is that the guy keeps such close track to give, make sure he's giving Meisr. He was saying, doesn't everybody give way more than Meisr? Like, he couldn't even understand that some people give only 10%. He's like, I thought everyone gives way more than Meisr. Because I give way more than a Chomesh. Why don't people give way more than Meisr? Who keeps such close? Like, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe it. People just give exactly Meisr. Agav, we said, what about a gift card? Do you have to give? I always get, Talmidim always ask when they get engaged. Did you ask me this? Talmidim always ask when they get engaged. Do you have to give Meisr from wedding gifts? Right? No, did you ask me that?
No.
What?
Unfortunately.
Okay. But people ask this question all the time. So the answer to that question is, am I out of time? Right? Okay, another 2 minutes. The answer to that question is that if you're going to live off of that money, so your mom is poor, so then you probably put for my successful anyway, because my successful is only a minute. If you're not going to live off that money, you're just putting it away for some later time. So money, yes. Money, you have to give my successful money. Gifts, no. Like, you don't have to take, if someone buys you for your bar mitzvah, Megillah, someone bought one of my kids a Megillah for the bar mitzvah. You have to say, ooh, this Megillah probably costs $1,000. So I have to take $100 out of pocket to give my success from this Megillah. You don't do that. What about something that's neither money nor an item? Like a gift card. So listen to Rav Shachter's Psak was, if someone gives you a gift card to a Svarim store, all you could buy with it is books. You don't have to give my success money. But if someone gives you a gift card to Target or an Amazon gift card where you can buy anything, and your purchasing power with it is so great that it's almost like money, then you have to give my success money. I thought that was interesting. And then he said, but even in a sperm store, there's so many beautiful sperm. Like, okay, yeah. But, but you don't have to give my success money. So in this, what's the counter argument why this guy can't? Maybe the guy already has given all of his stuff, so you're not going to take more stuff. Also, it could be that insurance covers whatever's going to be stolen from his house. You're going to cause him to make a false insurance claim. Insurance may not be covering what the relative rescued. There are a lot of issues that that may come up over here. But okay, but that, I think we've thoroughly answered the shayla with all these snifim lahakel. Probably, if it's an ani, he's probably allowed to keep it min hadin. Lefnim Yishrusdin is not something where mechayev a person who's an ani to do to an ashir, but I think we would always recommend it. It would seem like the moral thing to do is to return the $50,000. Okay.